Hedy, you've had a colorful journey to get to today, both with your work and just where you live. You come from Egypt, and I understand that you've lived in a lot of different places. Give us a little idea of your background.
Well, I was born and raised in Heliopolis, which is a suburb of Cairo, a very, very large suburb. And I was schooled at a nun's school in English, Arabic, mainly in French, I would say, but also in Arabic and English. And after that, I moved to Lebanon to study pharmacy at a Jesuit French university. And as I was growing up in Egypt, we used to spend our summers in the mountains of Lebanon. So my memories really pertain to both countries. And we left Lebanon at the onset of the war in 75. And that was a very tragic war that lasted 15 years. At first, we stayed in Greece for a few months and then lived in Belgium because my husband was working for Upjohn. He was a general manager for the entire Middle Eastern area when he was in Lebanon. So he was stationed in Belgium. We stayed there 6 years and came to the States in 1980. And here in Michigan, I've arrived in 81, and from the time I arrived, I think I found a very welcoming atmosphere at Western, taking classes constantly and then teaching Spanish. I started teaching Spanish since 87.
And having this background of being multilingual and having a background of having lived in different cultures, how has that infected, in a nice way, your writing?
I believe that when you not know many languages, but when you live these languages, they become an inherent part of your personality, and therefore there are many stories that want to get out at the same time. They're like at the crossroads. It's like when I look sometimes for a word and it comes in 2-3 different languages, or sometimes I can't find the one I want, but they will come in another language. So I think it gives me the opportunity of saying things in a very personal way, expressing my experiences, but having within me different facets of my personality. When I write a poem in French or in Spanish or in English, I feel like it's as though different writers were writing them. And sometimes I do write poems, they come to me in different languages. And as I revise or try to translate a poem into another language, I feel like I discover new metaphors, because it's impossible to really reproduce the original. And these new metaphors sometimes, I feel that they can help me improve the original poem. So I end up like communicating vessels. I keep up working back and forth, back and forth. So I think it is an advantage, but it is also a means of reconciling all those facets that really construct your identity.
Do you translate your own work as well?
Well, poems. I have translated. I have a collection of poetry that I've been working on for 10 years in Spanish. And some of these poems are translated from English. Some of them are original that were later on translated into English. And some of them still need to be translated into English, because I would like to eventually have a bilingual collection. I was going to publish it in Spanish, but I decided that it would be more, would have more readership. It would be more of a contribution, especially to bilingual people. bilingual poets.
So when you put together this poetry collection, Tea in Heliopolis, as well as the story collection, Flying Carpets, was there a decision-making process of what language to write it in, or you knew that you were going to write in English?
I think I knew I was going to write in English because I was an American citizen. I was living here, and I started out writing poetry in French, but it was very difficult to get published in France or in Canada. And so the longer I lived in the States, the more my reality became, what I was... I had to express myself with the tools, with my children were speaking English. I was using English every day, even if I spoke French at home or taught Spanish at school. So I think it's when I took my MFA and I have a couple of masters in English, and that's when I decided, okay, well, I'm going to have to then write in English if I want to share my experiences.
And both of these have a very strong sense of home, of your roots in them. When I read Flying Carpets, I love that mythical fairy tale element to it that I could identify with a Latvian background that I adored. Can you read a short selection from Flying Carpets for us to give our listeners a sense of your writing style in prose?
Okay. Flying Carpet really is divided in several sections, and some of the stories are more realistic, others are magic realistic, and then they become surreal and dreamlike. But they all pertain to the tradition of storytelling. So I'm going to just read an excerpt from a story that is a realistic story, and it is... takes place in Lebanon. The title is Green Figs or Cherries. And it's about a young woman who is at the clinic. She just gave birth and is contemplating a divorce. And she looks back. We had only been married a couple of months, and I wished I could forget it all like a bad dream. I'd wake up and return an unwrapped gift. With Selim gone for the weekend, I decided to spend some time with my parents. I found my mother struggling with different skeins of yarn. She'd move closer to the window, examining closely samples she stretched between her fingers. I can't distinguish the shades anymore, even in broad daylight, she complained. So I helped her disentangle the threads of the pastel balls dangling over the back of the sofa. Unraveling, they rolled in all directions over the bright-colored Tabriz rug. We sipped our Turkish coffee quietly. We liked to drink it boiling hot, almost a ritual. I always turned the cup upside down to interpret the running coffee grounds configurations. She scolded me. Still a child. You already know your luck. I told her about my sleepless nights, the endless reproaches. I tried to explain the tightness in my chest, my need to go away. She worried. Things will get better. You must be patient. You're about to become a mother. Don't you know children strengthen ties between man and wife? I can't take it anymore. I've tried. It's useless, I said. She shook her head angrily. You know how divorced women are looked upon. Is this what you want for your child? Have you forgotten? You'll have to give him up to his father at age 9. How will you feel then? I imagined my child having to suddenly adjust to his father's family, maybe to a stepmother. I had no choice except to go back to Selim and make the best of the situation. I'd give a stable, if not a happy home, to my child.
And Tea in Heliopolis is a poetry collection, so an entirely different approach with language, but again, about your roots, about home. Tell us about how you put together this selection of poetry.
Many of these poems stem from memories of my family, my father, my mother, my grandmother who used to live with us. But also many poems cover the war in Lebanon, the losses that we experienced when we left, mainly the loss of a country. And there are many, many poems about Michigan. And so the entire collection is really informed by my Michigan experience because I've lived here since 81. So it's been a long time. And so basically, the stories, the poems are a way of recovering a bygone era, because things have changed so much from the time I was growing up, or all the there has been too many changes in the Middle East, and so it was a way of explaining myself, if you will, but also recovering these like medallions, these moments, and a way of life.
And if you could read a selection from your poetry collection.
I'll read precisely a poem that is inspired by my gardening and my backyard. And it's titled Blue Heron. An Egyptian sculpture lost in the northern wilderness, the blue heron stands out in the whitened landscape, mimics an ibis's fixed stare, studies the frozen creek, sensing trembling gills beneath the transparent sheet. But why land in my backyard, I wonder, where no lotus ever grows? Unless he sees his own ancestral roots in my wide open eyes lined with coal, and knows that water from the Nile still runs in my veins since birth. In warmer seasons, he has seen me feed the silverfish, tend the vegetable garden, bend over perennials, springing stronger each year, add more seeds, making this our home, where we've lived the longest ever. Today, he saw me walk in circles, in the stillness of barren trees, over crisp snowflakes, masking all signs of life, the forget-me-nots throbbing under their icy coat, scintillating a thousand suns, opening a dam of flowing memories of sunnier shores, promises of blossoms to come. Until suddenly, as if pulsated by an engine, statuesque, the migrant bird deploys gigantic wings, disappears through the dead branches.
And you're a woman of many talents. It's not just writing. It's not just in different languages. It's not just poetry and prose. You're also a painter. And the cover of Tea in Heliopolis is actually an image that you've painted. And sometimes you write about your painting. So it's interesting how your art forms intertwine. You also have a new poetry collection that I believe is called Under Brushstrokes. Tell us about that.
Well, Under Brushstrokes is a collection that I've been working on for several years now, and it is all inspired by works of art. And it will be published, it will be released in the fall of 2015. But I have many poems inspired by paintings and works of art in Tea in Heliopolis, because my mother was a painter, and I write a lot about her. But there are also some ekphrastic poetry, too, in Tea in Heliopolis. But painting is an intrinsic part of me. I spend my time in museums as much as I can, and I love painting. I've been trying to do Chinese painting for the past few years, but I've painted for the past 35 years in different medium. So Under Brushstrokes really allows me to have more freedom. This collection is not linked to any time, to any place. It's all about the paintings. So each the poems are going to be surreal, and if it is inspired by surreal painters like Magritte or Dalí, or by a cubist painting by Picasso, the writing is going to reflect the movement or the painting itself. But of course, an ekphrastic poem does not need to follow so closely the original painting. It is a really a response, an emotional response to a work of art and what we make of it. And I really am very, very visual. So it has been a pleasure. I keep on writing poems inspired by art, even in different manuscripts in progress.
Does it sometimes work the other way, where you might write a poem or a story and it inspires a painting?
Actually, I think it's a very interesting concept, but it hasn't happened to me as yet. But I think all of these disciplines cross-pollinate, you know, and they feed each other.
And do you have any readings coming up, any place where people can hear you with sometime this winter or spring?
I will have several readings at the AWP conference in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And so that will be very exciting. And this is the Associated Writing and Writers Press that I try to attend every single year. Last year it was in Seattle. And I am part of a show that Elaine Seaman, the curate, has put together. And I have a poem inspired by a lithograph. By Adolf Den, and titled A Little Joke, that's going to be displayed along with the work of lots of local poets. The show has started officially today at the KIA, the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and it will end in May, in the 10th of May. And I'm very proud to be in such a good company with all of these local poets. We were assigned a painting, so that was harder for everybody because we didn't really get to choose the work that would inspire us. But on the other hand, according to Elaine Seaman, it narrowed the focus and it helped us, get to work right away instead of when you have too many options sometimes. It can cause a problem. So,
what is the title of that show?
Second Sight Insight.
Second Sight Insight. Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's already, I think the Kalamazoo KIA was closed today, or else you could have gone, we could have gone to see it. So it is already all installed and all those works of art. She chose the works of art that were not part of the permanent collection. So it's going to be a discovery, to discover the art as well as the poetry. And I have, I will be going to DePaul University in Chicago, where I am invited as a guest speaker to talk about Teen Heliopolis and Flying Carpets. And they have been using my books in their classrooms. So it's always exciting because you have a very well-prepared audience.
Well, thank you for talking with us today, Hetty. It's wonderful to spend time with you and to read your books. Where are they available in Kalamazoo?
Michigan News, Kazoo Books, BookBug, Barnes & Noble. Yeah, pretty much absolutely anywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.